Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Time to look back on Zipping Classic Day at Caulfield this year under sunny skies, but with some strong winds blowing them home down the home straight, some quick times right throughout the day. Time to introduce the team. Good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Good morning, Warren.
Beautiful day at Caulfield yesterday. I mentioned that the sun was out and the wind was blowing. There was certainly some quick times recorded yesterday, Dean.
There was. Antaha went very close to a long-standing record that Lucky Secret holds over the 1,000 metres. And as you said, it was quick racing and it was probably dried the track out more than anticipated. But no, it was a good day of racing and it was obviously pretty hot out there because Glenn Boss wanted to get his kit off after the races. So it was pretty warm out there.
Lucky Dan Malecki had left by that stage because you might have joined in with Bossy Dan and started to disrobe and throw your clothes at the crowd.
Well, there you go. It'd be like a conga line, wouldn't it? There'd be a few there. Tell you what, looking at the crowd there, they were already well on the way. I can see where Glenn got his incentive from because it was quite warm out there and it was certainly very windy. That was most obvious when I was there early in the morning. And the wind came in from the southwesterly direction. So it was a different, southeasterly direction, which is a wind that we don't often get. And whether or not that had an effect on some of the races, because we know it was a fast track, but gee, there was some races run at an awfully slow speed throughout the course of the day. It's great having a crowd back. There was that nice hum, that nice buzz you get across a feel-good meeting with a crowd there. Not this sort of rent-a-crowd over-the-top experiences that we've heard and seen in some of the places, particularly interstate. So it had a bit of an old feel about it to have people back there, and I really enjoyed it. It was a good day.
8,500 people recorded as being on track, and conditions were that they could be outside. So it did look like a big crowd, but perhaps most of them were enjoying the sunshine, not a lot of them crowded inside. And a lot of them there to see the fairy tale for Glenn Boss aboard Spanish Mission in the Zipping Classic.
Dr. Drill now, Spanish Mission, peels out three wide. Warning tucked away behind those. Next in the field, Sound extricating off the fence. Silent Sovereign around it from Lunar Flare. And next, Flashar and Skelm. Wentwood, Dr. Drill. Here's Spanish Mission about to make a line of three around the corner as they sprint up. 300 metres to go. It's Dr. Drill and Wentwood. Spanish Mission a length and a half away. Just needs to find, wants to lug in. Then Sound and Silent Sovereign. Dr. Drill looking to upset the party at the 200 metres. Sound is a threat. Dr. Drill led by a length. Now Sound coming out after it. Dr. Drill joined by Sound, and Sound over the top won it from Dr. Drill. Three-way go for third. Wentwood, Skelm or Spanish Mission, the dream end not to be for Glenn Boss, but we salute you.
Didn't look like they were running along at a really solid tempo, Dean. Overall time looked quite modest. What did you make of the Zippy Classic?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, Warren. It was a bit of a crawl, and it was for Spanish Mission coming off one of our fastest Melbourne Cups ever to a very slowly run race. It was a bit of a culture shock, I think, and it was a bit of a dash home. And Sound, he's quite a remarkable horse, as Mike Moroney mentioned earlier. He came out with the Melbourne Cup and Caulfield Cup qualifications and used them for a few seasons, but he's made this race his own in the last 2 years, and he'd never placed at Caulfield before yesterday, but he'd run in Caulfield Cups and races that he probably couldn't win, and yesterday ended up being a race he could win, and aided by a really sweet Jamie Mott ride as well. And, whilst it wasn't the fairy tale for Glenn Boss, it was one of the highlights of Jamie Mott's career by winning such a rich race.
With Spanish Mission sitting effectively in the 1-1 and then making a dash home, in retrospect, is there anything else that could have been done to enhance the winning prospects of Spanish Mission in your eye, Dean?
I thought he might have got rolling down a bit earlier, but ultimately, that was probably, they seemed pretty content with where they were in the run and to see if he could probably sit and sprint. And they've probably learnt something about him from yesterday's defeat, that's not going to be in his sort of wheelhouse. When he was three wide and rolling in the Melbourne Cup on a good speed, that really suited him.
Dan, what did you make of the race?
Yeah, well, you could tell a fair way out with Spanish Mission. Even though he was in a good spot, it was just a matter of whether he had that change-up speed, and obviously it wasn't forthcoming. Glenn, at the start, he just revved him up, didn't he? Just a couple of pumps out of the gate just to get his mind on the job, and then they all looking at each other. It's as if one jockey was saying to the other, no, you lead. No, it's okay, you go first. They were being too polite to one another, and in the end, I think most of us thought Warning would probably lead. But he ended up in a good spot. He must have felt the ground. And that's one thing to consider throughout the course of the day. The track did firm up, and there will be some horses that might have performed below par. And even Spanish Mission, as much as a lot's made of him being an international dry tracker as such, but he may well have felt the ground a little bit as well, because coming around the turn, Sound was behind him and back to the inside. So you wouldn't have thought necessarily Sound would give him a length or so and then out sprinting up the straight at the end of a mile and a half, but that was to be the case. The winners, look, he's been going well, and he's probably been going even slightly better this spring than he was last year when he took out the same race. So it was good to see. It was a nice enough ride. He got the right cover, and he was just an adaptable horse in a race that didn't suit the genuine stayers. Like Dr. Drill's another one that sometimes you query at the longer trip, but he got the conditions to suit, and he's got a bit of ping in his legs, and he nearly got away with another one as he got close in the Geelong Cup as well. So excellent training performance. For a horse that doesn't win often, he's built up a lot of prize money for his connections.
I'm sure Bossy could afford to replace that gear that he threw away, Dino, but I was joking with Josh Rodder and I said maybe might be wise to go around and get the names of those people, because when Bossy announces his comeback next week, he might want his boots back.
Well, that's right. He may do, but I'm glad he weighed in before he did all that, because that would have been embarrassing to come in well under. But it was well done by the MRC, certainly an acknowledgement of a fine career, and probably a touch of irony that he didn't win his last race at Caulfield, because Caulfield was the stumbling block for him not winning the Grand Slam, not being able to win that Caulfield Cup. Probably that was about how it worked out at Caulfield for Bossy.
Regular contributor via SMS, Wayne from Oakley, who must have been so deprived of not being able to get to his favourite track at Caulfield. And first SMS for the morning, no surprise. Good morning to you, Wayne. Good morning, Warren and panel. Another sensational day's racing at Caulfield. A little crowded in the Medallion Bar, but it was great to be back. I'm sure you had a great day, Wayne. It was a terrific day's racing, and good to hear that you're back on course at your favourite track at the Heath at Caulfield and getting into the Medallion Bar. First race was an interesting race for the two-year-olds, and the Snowdens had sent down a filly on debut called Ebhar.
So with 450 metres to run, it's on the inside Maricanto, Dole and Ebhar. Out deeper on the course, Baldinho is staking a claim, and Brereton extricating away from the rails too, then Silver Nito. Next in the field is Kiko from Moco, and down the outside, Valenconi with a lot to do. Baldinho moves up to Ebhar at the 200 metres. They're stride for stride, followed by Brereton. It's Baldinho and Ebhar, stride for stride. Baldinho, Ebhar's kicking on the inside for Ollie, and Ebhar's going to be too good. One at half a length, Baldinho. Late for third, Moco. Brereton or...
How'd you see the first, Dan?
Well, firstly, it was more the audio part of it, but a lot of horses with O as the last letter in their names, like Baldinho, Silvanito, Camicho, Kiko and Moco. So they all seem to be running together. This has always been a really good quality race. It's a race that you can follow the form out of confidently, and I get the same feeling this time. Well, the winner was terrific. She didn't begin that well, but she mustered so very quickly after the race, obviously showed that good fight. I thought Baldinho was terrific. He was three wide on speed, and he obviously got tired, or maybe it was the will of the winner, Ebhar, to fight back. But Baldinho's performance on debut was excellent. Brereton looked to have every chance. It probably looked like an end-of-prep run because he was there to win on the home turn and didn't finish it off. The run, close enough to the run of the race, certainly the one I'd want to follow out of it was Camicho. He was back and wide, very wide on the turn. Really liked the way that he finished off his race at 1,000. He gives the impression that he will enjoy a little bit more ground. Mako was good. I think the format of this will stand up. It seemed to have a bit of depth about it, and I think it's a form that you can follow confidently. Winning filly is a very good horse, but I really like Camicho.
Noted in the stewards' report, Dan, that Luke Nolan said that it might have been an end-of-preparation run for Brereton, and also noted that Ebhar began awkwardly and made contact with Camicho. What did you make of the win in the first of Ebhar in the race, Dean?
Yeah, I thought it was a very good effort, Warren. She trialled up like she would run very well, and I think this is the race that's, if this is going to be the permanent fixture for this meeting, late in November and at Caulfield, this is the race that will really grow, because it'll give, you know, it's a good race, always been a good race anyway, but it will give horses an early look at Caulfield with an eye to the Blue Diamond Preludes, and I just wonder if that's why the Snowdens had Ebhar in town to have a look at Caulfield and come back come February and you know, really train up towards the Blue Diamond. It was a good win. Baldinho ran well. I thought Moco was good because drew the outside gate, was ridden quietly, came back and inside, cut through the field, whereas, as Dan said, Camicho had to go wide. I thought both of their runs had merit. And I think, yeah, it was probably an end of prep run with Brereton, but I think that's about where he is in the scheme of things at the moment. I think that first up run where he nearly won was okay, and he didn't rate very well when he won the Maribyrnong Plate. So I just wonder if, you know, he'd been a real opportunist at the start of the spring. But I think Ebhar's got a lot more to give. And just looking at a couple of those fillies in the yard yesterday, and she was one of them, a lot more mature type starting to roll out now.
With the firming ground and the tailwind in the home straight, was there a discernible pattern to your idea?
Oh, I think there was no disadvantage, especially rail 6 metres. And I think the other thing is because it seemed to be, you know, around the turn, seemed to make the fields jam up a little bit. I thought the racing was quite tight around the home turn, whether it was the horses getting blown back in a little bit or just because the rail was at 6 metres, the riders weren't giving an inch. But there were a few races there that they raced, I thought, pretty tight, you know, in comparison to what we've seen in recent weeks.
Over the Melbourne Cup trip of 3,200 metres for the Sandown Cup, race 2 on the card, first of a staying double for the Mike Moraney stable.
Races on around the turn, a sprint to the post. 400 metres to go. It's Into Rio taking the lead on the point of the corner now from Lion's Share, Lady in the Sky. True Marvel to the outside. Sweet Thomas has bailed away, needs a run. Lion's Share, Into Rio at the 200, joined by True Marvel. Sweet Thomas gets out and Dragon Storm late. True Marvel at the 100 from Lion's Share. Dragon Storm's flying. True Marvel at the 50, punched out. Dragon Storm's coming at it. They reach the line ahead, Bobber. Very close between Dragon Storm or True Marvel. Photo finish, then Sweet Thomas in a decision for third with Lion.
Danny from Mooraduck, another regular contributor, Dino. He says, I hate being too critical of jockeys. In hindsight, it's a wonderful thing, but can't help but think if True Marvel wins easy, if he didn't get itchy hands, get going earlier and end up five wide on the home turn. Stay back at the outside of the eventual winner until straightening. So Danny thinks that maybe push the button a little bit early on True Marvel. How did you see the race, Dean?
Oh, yeah, it is a hindsight thing. And, you know, I think a staying horse off a slow speed, I'd be wanting to wind him up. And I think it's a valid point. But I think, you know, watching how True Marvel won at the Valley last start, he wound up and I think he was, you know, given that opportunity. Yes, he covered a bit of ground around the turn, but the inside horses were cast at the time and nearly brought the eventual winner undone as well because he tried to stay in. And I don't think it was much through, you know, I think it was just as a last-minute resort. He switched across the heels of Sweet Thomas and then actually found a gear and found the line. But, I thought Damien Thornton did pretty well, everything right on True Marvel. He's just missed out on the bob in the end.
What about the performance of the stablemate to True Marvel, Sweet Thomas, Dean?
He ran the sort of race he does, these 3,200-metre lower-grade races. He runs in the Stayers' Cup at Rhodes Hill every year, and he comes down for these sort of races, and he runs well. He toughed it out okay, but, the one that probably didn't turn up and maybe doesn't run 2 mile is Accountability. Maybe the ground was a bit firm too, but he'd had a pretty good run, and he just didn't quicken up at all, but... it was a bit of a turnaround from Dragon Storm, who'd been, you know, really sort of labouring and looked pretty slow, looked like, more like a Jericho horse than Sandown Cup winner in his 3 runs to date, but he found form yesterday.
Thoughts on this race, Dan?
Yeah, well, look, Dragon Storm, I guess you knew he could get 3,200, but it was a matter of whether he could turn around a 27-length-odd defeat. But he got going early last start. I mean, again, probably drawing a long bow here to try and find some of the reasons why he could have improved, but you knew he could get 2 miles. They did go early on him at Flemington. He made that run up to the turn. He's equal leader up to the turn and then gave 25 lengths in the straight. A couple of little changes, the blinkers off, and rode according to a horse with the blinkers off and waiting for the run, nose roll on, tongue tie. I mean, look, they're all 0.1%ers, but in the end, they might have made the difference, and he could stay patient ride this time. The one probably out of the race. I can't believe I'm even saying this, but Abilady actually finished off pretty well. And maybe there's a 3,000-metre race, one of those races at the Valley for her. She wasn't too bad. Maybe Clutching at Straws to a degree. Perhaps True Marvel just needed that little bit of sting out of the ground. But it was a slowly run race, wasn't it? And therefore, we could probably find excuses for a lot of them again. I don't think Accountability is going to run favourite in a race beyond 2,400 metres for a while. And again, it might have been too firm for him. Look, I'm forgiving in a way. Probably lack of depth there might have helped Dragon Storm in the end as well.
Zaydani's been an important horse for the new partnership at Lindsay Park, Ben and JD Hayes. And Lady of Honours fitting that category also. An important stakes victory in the Twilight Glow yesterday in the Coolmore colours with Jake Noonan aboard.
Approach the turn. 350 metres to go. It's Lady of Honour with on the outside Star of Chaos. Leader had a little bit of a kick. Lavish Girl needs a run behind them. Inviva under the whip. Then Allegretta. Decent Rain brought to the middle. Bumped Raduna on the way through and then spinning. Lady of Honour kick for home at the 200 metres. Two lengths. Decent Rain. Favourite's got a task. Lady of Honour at the 100. Led by a length and a half. Decent Rain is coming, but Lady of Honour's punched out and too good. Lady of Honour beat Decent Rain. Lavish Girl and fourth spinning.
Looks like she's got a good racing style. Dan, what did you make of her win at stakes level yesterday?
Yeah, absolutely. There was intent there early, as her previous starts had shown. She can sit up on the pace. It was controlled out in front. It was a really good ride. So in the running, the tempo wasn't slow, but it was just at the right sort of tempo to take a bit of sting out of her rivals. She's really progressing well, Lady of Honour. So a combination of an improving filly with a good ride. Star of Chaos probably had her chance. She was up close enough. Inviva excuses, sitting wide. Decent Rain, the barrier obviously was the negative for her. She had to get that length or two further back. She finished off well. It was an excellent performance. I still think she's the best filly in the race. Spitting was better. She got a long way back. Raduna, I'm not prepared to give up on Raduna, but at the same time, I don't know how she's going to win a race. She's not flash at the start. You thought with the blinkers on, she might be able to race a little more forward. Looked like she was going to drop out at the 200 when she got bumped, but she was actually picking up again through the line late. So again, there's still something in her, and there's one horse that I take out of the race that I reckon is worth following. It might be a horse through the summer if they continue on with the prep, the well-named Birthday Suit. She was just starting to pinch some ground on the rails there and ran into a dead end and wasn't really pushed out late. But I reckon there's something for her later on. She's an improving type. She's out of a dam called Naked in the Spa, and her name is Birthday Suit, and I reckon she's one to follow.
Well, that's good, Dan. Might appeal you for some reasons we shouldn't go to in this time slot. But Baz is liking your work. Also, thanks for your SMS. Baz are really enjoying the show. And Dean and Dan talk about different aspects of the race, which gives us a little bit more insight. So glad you're enjoying it, Baz. Dino, what did you make of race three?
Well, she's been going very well, Lady of Honour. And more importantly, you know, as you said, a significant win for the partnership. But I think for Jake Noonan, I think Jake Noonan in the last month has been riding the best I've ever seen him ride, beautifully, and he's a really smooth rider. He's got a little bit of the Steve Arnolds about him, I think, in style. Warren, the way he sits, he's a tall jockey and just rides really neatly and really, at the moment, I think he's at the peak of his powers, and that comes with maturity. He got a feature win in the Sangster Stakes a few years ago, but this might be the real chance for him to, you know, really elevate, and maybe a horse like Lady of Honour is going to show that off.
And I think this race probably highlights, you know, when you're trying to work out races beforehand, Dean, Decent Rain lobbed into that beautiful 1-1 spot at Ballarat a week ago, and just position in running just meant she had perhaps too much to do to pick up a horse of Lady of Honour's quality yesterday.
Yeah, she was always going to be. It was an awkward situation, because she was short price favourite. She rolls forward. She's sort of the hunted, and she got three wide with cover on the back of Raduna and Inviva. And well, Inviva was gone at the 500, and Raduna didn't take her anywhere, so she sort of had to come around them. I thought she ran well. I think Lavish Girl ran quite well too, because she just got held up when the sprint went on, and spinning was okay late. But no, I thought the ride from the front was really smart by Jake Noonan, and he used the turn beautifully there at Caulfield, and quickened up at the right time and won the race.
Jai McNeil was aboard Enthar, who'd been a little bit enigmatic since getting her career off to an explosive start. Could the Mara and Eustace team get her back in form yesterday?
Well, back in the field, he's a Boltavada, Shimino, Prezzato, and Curran's last. Yolong Command at the 300 metres, led a length to Starry Legend, and Enthar the outside, moving up boldly. Enthar took the front from Yolong Command, Starry Legend, then Streetcar Stranger. Enthar punched out at the 100 metres, takes the lead, kicks clear a length and a half. Streetcar Stranger late into second, but Enthar won it. Enthar from Streetcar Stranger, Yolong Command, and Starry Legend.
Well, Dean, on the Saturday panel yesterday, I think you were quizzed about, you know, what needed to go right for Enthar, and you talked about just being able to get her into that nice rhythm, not going too slow, not going too fast. It seems that you actually scripted the race for Enthar yesterday. Take us through your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it worked out well. And it's one thing to have fast horses like the good stables do, and the Mar Eustace stable are the leading stable, but it's then, you know, knowing how to train them and get the best out of them. And Enthar just goes, she was going too hard. They used the earmuffs, and they, I think Kieran Maher mentioned in the post-race interview, they even were trying to get her ready for the Moyer Stakes in late September. They didn't produce it until the first week of November, so they weren't happy with her. She ran at Flemington. I think the earmuffs probably had too much of an effect on her. And yesterday, it's a matter of, one thing being fast, but you've got to be fast and kick on. We've seen it with Nature Strip. Those horses that can, if they can just relax that little bit, then they've got something to kick on at the finish. And yesterday, she did that exactly right. She was three wide, but she was soft in Jai McNeil's hands, and that allowed him then to, you know, ask her for an effort, and she found. And now it was a good win. It was a, you know, obviously a very fast win, but it was a really good performance and a good controlled gallop, and that's what you need to do with those fast horses.
Johnny from Merbu's a regular contributor also via SMS, and he's got a sense of humour, Dean. He said, watching the Zippy Classic was like watching Days of Our Lives. You only needed to watch the last bit.
Yeah, probably. It was a bit of a mundane affair until about the 500, and it got going. But, yeah, I thought you meant that Bossy took his clothes off, but there you go.
No, I think he was referring to just chiming in when it all started about the 400-metre mark. Dan, how did you see Enthar's win yesterday?
Look, it was good. It was good to see her. She jumped well and looked like she's going to relax, and then she looked like she got a bit keen as Starry Legend went through, but obviously it was the place to be. Once she was there, three wide on speed, and it was a strong tempo, she looked exactly that. She looked strong and through the line. So the confidence aspect can't be underrated there for her. She's matured into a lovely filly. She's big and robust now, isn't she? And the patience has been rewarded from that performance. I mean, she's going to have to meet much stronger company than what she did yesterday, but still, she's a very inexperienced filly, but I think they got her back on track, so that was an important win. Be interesting, though, with that performance yesterday, she drew wide, and whether or not the same effect would be there if she'd drawn the inside, Dean and Warren, to see how she would react with speed around her and even cut it up in the field. It obviously suited her yesterday and those conditions with the space to her outside. And I just wonder going forward whether an inside gate could add a little question mark to see how she's going to react when there's more pressure inside and outside of her.
How would you expect that, Dean?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, because I'm big on what I call eyeball pressure, and she would have had it either side of her had she drawn in. But that was a good scenario yesterday. But I mean, with every run, and now they've got time to work on her further and towards the autumn, you'd think that, she can only keep improving her skills, because I think she was a bit of a runaway train last autumn. We saw that. She won the Chairman's, but just going hard and running along, and then the Blue Diamond, she just, you know, just cooked herself in the run. So if she can harness that ability, that's when you see the best of a horse like her.
The sectional times that were published on course yesterday, Dean, had Curran running home in just a tick under 11 seconds for his last 200 metres. But I suppose the way the race shaped up, a horse of Enthar's talent was just too far in front of him to win the race. But he's run enormous by the late sectionals that I had access to yesterday.
Yeah, well, you see that Yolong Command had stayed at the short courses, and Curran just having that run at 1,200 in a high-pressure race on Melbourne Cup Day probably just took the speed out of him as much as anything, because early in the prep, he won a 9.55 metre beating Yolong Command and was in three or four lengths of him in the run and ran him down. Yesterday he had a lot more to do, and his run was tremendous. He's going really well, and I think the Christmas Stakes was what Lynn Tolson mentioned as a bit of a target for him. Well, this year it's 1,100 at Caulfield on Boxing Day. That'll be ideal for him.
Steinem was heavily backed in the Summon Stakes over 1,600 metres, dropping back from Group 1 level.
Up around the corner at the 400, Brazen Song given her head, followed by a neck away, Paul's Regret. Now Steinem peels out of the slipstream, three wide, she tanks up. Quantum Mechanic stoked up wide, a Tricky Girl needs a run badly. Steinem took the front at the 200, Quantum Mechanic's going with her. Steinem needs to find, Quantum Mechanic's just about got her. Quantum Mechanic just in front of Steinem, who's fighting back. Steinem and Quantum Mechanic, they hit it, Steinem! Steinem worries Quantum Mechanic out of it, Perfect World late for third, then agreeable.
Note in the stewards report, the Mar and Eustace stable were notified of their obligations if they're looking at a change in tactics with Steinem. Let's talk about the performance first of all. Dan, how did you see the race?
Look, they didn't look like they were going that quick in the first 400 or 500 metres. Brazen Song wanted to get a little bit keen in the run, and Paul's Regret, although up on speed, was 1,600 first time. But once they started to quicken, they really picked it up from along the side there. Steinem sat that length, in a length or two closer, actually, in the run. So if you'd backed her, you would have felt pretty confident with yourself. And she looked the winner a fair way out. But at the 200, you were having to say a few Hail Marys, weren't you? But she showed a tremendous fight to be able to win. And I think the two horses that we would consider the class horses finished the Quinella, and the other one might well have been Tricky Girl, but she didn't get a lot of luck. Perfect World is a horse to follow. Agreeable's Agreeable. She went terrific, running on out wide on the track. When she draws the gate, I think it's the day to get on Agreeable. But Steinem, good fight. She's still got a good career ahead of her. She's so lightly raced. And it'll be interesting to see where they go to from here. But she might be able to string a few more together if they're going to try and hold her to this preparation. And you know that she should be able to step out a little bit further. And Quantum Mechanics, a pretty good yardstick. That little pull in the weights too may well have been the difference in the last 50 metres. Four for Steinem against Quantum Mechanic.
Just reading from the stewards' report regarding those tactics, Dean. When they questioned Jai McNeil post-race, the stewards, he reported that he was instructed to try and utilise Barrier 5 in attempt to be more forward in a midfield position compared to last start when the mare was slow to begin from an outside barrier. So, organically, she might have settled a bit closer. Jai added that after beginning fairly, he was then positive on his mount and the mare responded to race in a more forward position than intended. The stewards reminded Kieran Maher of his obligations to notify his there if such a change in tactics design pre-race. Dino, what did you make of the race?
Oh, what I made of the race was that Steinem had finally drawn a good gate and she was going to be closer. It is sport, and after the start there was an opportunity to just tuck in behind Quantum Mechanic, and then you would have just been dictated to by Quantum Mechanic, or push forward and get ahead of Quantum Mechanic with 3 kilos less and make it carry its weight. So I think that's a split-second decision, and that's not something that you can script and tell the stewards half an hour before. That's just a moment in sport, and it happened, and Steinem went forward and ultimately probably won the race. Quantum Mechanic was very good with the weight. She ran really well. I think the race ran pretty much to script. An up-and-comer in Perfect World who had no luck at the Valley ran well. Agreeable, as Dan said. Key to her is good barrier draws. Very like Steinem. Steinem had drawn the outside barriers all three runs this time in, drew a better gate. When Agreeable drew well on Thousand Guineas Day, she took up a prominent spot and won since she's drawn wide and been condemned to getting back a bit. So she's going well. But the only one that, you know, Tricky Girl, I thought, you know, didn't have the best of runs, but, you know, I think was below form. But early in the race, there wasn't as much speed as you've anticipated either. I thought Brazen Song and a couple of others would have gone a bit harder, and hence, once Steinem got close, she was actually even closer in the run than I think anyone would have anticipated.
Early in her career, there was a lot of expectation at about Steinem, particularly as a three-year-old filly. Where do you think she might be able to head to, Dean?
Oh, I think she's a real talent. I think the Group 3 win yesterday is well deserved, and she's better than that. I could see her running well in a Coolmore Classic 1500 with a reasonable weight. She don't still only have a reasonable weight, and last year's winner of this race was Miss Old Mantra, and she's a similar sort of horse. She hasn't had the brakes go her way, and she got the right brakes yesterday, and I think there's plenty of upside to Sonam because she's been lightly raced and been very carefully handled, and I think the best's yet to come.
Couple via the SMS from Frank and Rhino, just wondering where Sinawan might be heading. And Dean, we'll get to that race shortly, and I'm sure you'll have some thoughts on what lie ahead for him. He was very good winning the last race with Sinawan. Steinem taking out a feature race, taking out the Summon Stakes over 1,600 metres. Jai McNeil aboard, having a good day out. Mick Price, Michael Kent Jr., fitting that they were able to win a race at Caulfield as training closes down at Caulfield. They've been such a fixture there. They had Blue Army, the Sandown Guineas.
Up around the home corner, it's Festival Dancer with Blazero, the outside, throwing down the gauntlet. Blue Army gets up on the outside as well as they reach the 250. A good race in prospect. We're on the outside, moving up. Blazero is grabbed by Blue Army. Blazero and Blue Army. Blue Army gets its head in front of Blazero. Blue Army a neck, and Blue Army has beaten Blazero. Festival Dancer.
Blue Army taking out the Guineas. Dean up Blazero. Jeff via the SMS was enamoured with the performance of Blazero. Thought he ran very well. How did you see the Guineas, Dean?
I thought it was a good proactive ride by Damien Oliver to put him up there and get into the race where a few of them, they'd liked it over again, I think. But Blue Army was barrier one, beautiful spot. In running, and it was all about position in running. Festival Dancer, Blazero, Blue Army, 1, 2, 3 in the run. Cardinal Gem just kept getting shuffled out of the race. For him to get within two lengths of the winner was terrific. Port Louis, I don't quite know where he's at. He was okay, but I think he's either a run-on sprinter or he's nearly a gelding, one of the two. And the rest, a few of them got too far back, but it was very much about where they were in the run here, and on paces totally dominated the race.
In terms of tempo, how did you see the race panning out, Dean?
I thought Festival Dancer would probably lead, but I thought she might lead at a more generous speed, but it was a pretty pedestrian tempo, and that's why when the opportunity came, Damien Oliver was three back, one out on Blazero, and it was a little bit keen, admittedly, but he took the opportunity to send him and put him up outside the lead, and I think it was a move that nearly won the race.
Thoughts on the Guineas, Dan?
Yeah, it looked messy early on, didn't it? There was a number of horses that looked like they were going to over-race. There was a couple of points in the first few hundred metres where there were horses that got up on the steel, had to be restrained, and some settled slightly better after that. And then the sprint from about the 400, those sort of beyond fourth, they had no hope. They didn't look like they had any chance. I think Cardinal Gem out of the race was the obvious eye-catcher because it had to come wide and was really picking up the ground. The winner just lobbed in a really good spot. He always looked threatening, was good through the line. Blazero probably made the race and probably helped the winner win the race because he took off and probably helped push the button and the speed from about the 500. Tell you, there's a nice horse in the race called Rygate. I just wonder where he's going to get to. I liked his performance. Port Louis was entitled to just do a little bit better. He had that softer run, even though back on the field and he didn't look like he was going to win. I still thought that he should have been stronger through the line. Even at 1600, where there had been a bit made about him running a strong mile, well, I still thought with a softish run, he was entitled to finish that last 100 off better. So I don't know if you'll see him at that trip again, guys. Cardinal Gem's the one to take out of the race, but horses like Blue Army having its third start and Rygate having its second start have got a lot of upside.
You're back in the field not doing any work. You're probably entitled to run some good late sectionals, Dino, but I thought Chartres was strong to the line. Luke Currier aboard for Matt Laurie. And in the stewards' report, Luke says just settled further back than intended with the slow tempo and was detrimental to his performance. But he looked to move through the line well to me, Dean.
Yeah, I like this horse. He was 1,200 to 1,600 yesterday, so probably that fine line if Luke tried to push him a bit more forward, whether he'd adapt to the slower tempo. So I thought he ran okay there, or he ran well. And I do like the horse, and I think, they'll have a lot of fun with him going forward. I mean, he won a nice race at Cranbourne on Cup Day there and yesterday. Bit of a throw at the stumps, jumping up in trip, but I don't think he was outgraded by any means.
Regalo Di Gaetano was coming over the border from South Australia for Richard and Chantel Jolly in winning form. He carried that form through to Caulfield yesterday in the Eclipse.
Is Royal Mile coming up towards the turn from Sosibon, leaving the slipstream now three wide. Regalo Di Gaetano putting itself into the picture. Bonvicini behind them. Starrell has a back to follow. Our Playboy's extricating through, still four off the lead. It's Royal Mile at the 250. Regalo Di Gaetano storms up though and takes the lead. Royal Mile lugging in on top of Bonvicini and Starrell late. Regalo Di Gaetano still clear, a length and a half in front and one. Regalo Di Gaetano from Bonvicini, Starrell, Royal Mile in a decision.
Zach Spain with a Group 3 win here. Dan, what did you make of the Eclipse?
Yeah, well, the winner's just a winner. He's a flashy horse. He's not difficult to see in the run. He generally gets back in his races, but he was able to sit a little more forward, as he did at his previous start there. Horse that's obviously very popular because he made the All-Star Mile Field at Moonee Valley earlier this year. And the way he's going, he might represent South Australia again. He was good. He's just a good horse, isn't he? And he came out early, three wide, plenty of room coming around the home turn. He probably loomed as if he was going to win. I think Bonvicini would have really pushed him and maybe even beaten him. She looked like she was going well. She was going to get her opportunity. Then Royal Mile rolled back in on top. But it actually might have been the winner that started that movement. So Bonvicini finished off really well. Starrell did what Starrell does. She's very consistent and she was good. Royal Mile, he just got the wonders in the straight. I think he was there to win, but he's only lightly raced and up against some of the big boys and girls here with far more experience might do him the world of good. Our Playboy, the barrier draw, was always going to be the trick with him getting back. I mean, he closed off well. Again, an eye-catching run without a lot of room at the 150. And he's only got beaten one length. Sosibon, you know, under the big weight was good. Defibrillate slightly better on the quick backup. But I would think out of the race, I mean, our Playboy is going to get you in again next time, but I think you just want a gate where he can settle in front of a few and have clear air from about the 400. And I still would stick with Royal Mile. As green as he looked yesterday, it was quite breezy, a new track, first trip away. They're all things that can help him improve. And, well, it was a jolly good win for Regalo Di Gaetano and the connections, and it's incredible the record that the jolly cam have when their horses across the border. We should know better than to send them around at $10.
And we got a reminder Friday night, as you referenced, Dina, I think yesterday with David Jolly sending the Poussance de Lune mare over to win at the Valley. They're just very good travellers and targeters, I suppose, of horses, aren't they, Dean? The whole family.
Yeah, Streetcar Stranger was over $6 the place in the Doveton, and then Rich and Chantel chimed in with Regalo Di Gaetano. It was a good win. I'm very comfortable that Royal Mile will be the best horse going forward out of this race. He's still in the learning phase, as Dan mentioned, with a new track, just a different scenario. But I think he ran really well, and he'll benefit from that run at that sort of pressure, and I like him. Starrell's going well, but she just needs that next win on the board. And I do think Bonvicini, had she not got balked at that crucial stage, the way she ran through the line, she may well have won the race. So our Playboy was good to the line on very firm ground. So there was only a length between the first six with Sosibon. But I think whilst there's been better performed horses like Sosibon, etc., in the race, I think long-term Royal Mile will be the best horse in the race.
Stewart's report has Royal Mile passing the 200 metres, shifting in away from Regalo Di Gaetano, and that caused some referred interference to Bonvicini. I was initially, Dean, wanting to have a look at the head-on vision to see if it was possible that Regalo Di Gaetano had caused that interference to Royal Mile, and therefore might have created an opportunity for Bonvicini to protest. How did you see the way that unfolded in the last 100 metres or so?
Yeah, I was of the same opinion. I just think that maybe it was more an overreaction, maybe through inexperience of Royal Mile, that he just sort of seemed to shy away a bit from Regalo Di Gaetano. But, you know, there was a little bit of a moving around, but not enough to probably create the protest scenario. But Bonvicini certainly was the one that just... She was trying to get to the outside initially. Jai was trying to get to the outside of Royal Mile and then had to switch back inside and just got balked when he was building momentum.
What about our playboy now? We've seen him win at Flemington on a good rated track. We know he's got good form on rain-affected ground. And yesterday he's in the stewards' report without having much luck late. What do you make of the firmer tracks for our playboy, Dean?
I don't think they hold any fears for him, Warren. I think he's a superior wet tracker, but I don't think they hold any fears. And maybe he was just an immature horse, and a lot of those dry track runs were in races that probably didn't suit him at the stage of his career as a three-year-old. But now as a seasoned four-year-old, he's handling dry ground okay. And whether he goes on through the summer or, I mean, what would be wrong with him being be an ideal sort of winter championship horse at the least? So he's got a nice future as well in these sort of races.
Imported galloper Sinawan was having its second start for Anthony and Sam Freeman. Craig Williams aboard in the last at Caulfield yesterday.
4.50 at Streets of Avalon. Spain about to niggle as Crosshaven now moves up on its outside and eyeballs it. 2.5 Age of Chivalry shown the persuader. I Am Superman to the outside from Rania. Sinawan, riddle me that, Camborne. Crosshaven at the 250. Streets of Avalon fights back and I Am Superman now the final favourite joining in, and Sinawan down the centre. I Am Superman up to Streets of Avalon. Sinawan's a closer. I Am Superman and Sinawan. Sinawan over the top. Sinawan got up to beat I Am Superman, Streets of Avalon, and for fourth.
That last race being the Kevin Heffernan Stakes. What a great contributor Kevin was to racing and just the Victorian community in general, Dean.
He was. He's a great man, Kevin, and it was very fitting that the MRC have had this race for over 20 years now, because he contributed a lot when it was the VATC and now the MRC, and he had a significant winner of his race yesterday. I think this is a really good horse, Sinawan, and we got to see that yesterday. I Am Superman has got good form, had a good run, had every chance to win. Sinawan, run him down with, I think, relative ease, with more to come. The form around him in Ireland suggests that he's probably going to reach a pretty high level here. And Dan mentioned about the All-Star Mile. If he's not a good All-Star Mile candidate long-term, I'd be very surprised.
Frank and Rhino were very keen to think what you might mop out for Sinawan. So at this stage of this preparation, Dean, is there much for him in the short term?
No, I think the next time we'll see him would be the All Stakes, I would hope, and maybe the All or the Futurity to try and get that ticket to the All-Star Mile if he didn't get the vote. But I think he is... he's right up there. He's got form. It's very interesting. He's got form around a horse in Ireland called Four Home Two, which Annabelle Neesham now has in her stable. And he's a pretty exciting horse as well. And ran third to Japan, who's a very high-class galloper. So there's all the signs were there that he would be well and truly up to our standards. First up, mentioned yesterday, James McDonald was at him and he was going to be in the finish, but got the tongue over the bit. The tongue tie went on. He had a trial in between runs and flew, and yesterday showed that form. And he's got form up to 1,800 metres already, so he's an exciting horse.
How'd you see the last, Dan?
Well, it was a good tempo, and you'd probably expect that when Streets of Avalon's up on speed and Crosshaven just making him press the button that half a furlong maybe early. I Am Superman tracked up in the race. If you're on him, you were pretty happy with yourself coming to the home turn, and then you think, oh, I think he's going to win
back
here, and then you look at the danger and you think, oh, hello. As it proved to be, Sinawan was the kryptonite for I Am Superman.
You've absolutely described my emotions watching that race, Dan. You've summed it up beautifully. Surprise baby underwent a veterinary examination upon arrival, having been away from the track for a long time. Slow into stride, Jordan Childs reported that his mount was beaten for speed early in middle stages, and as a result had to ride the gelding along throughout. For this reason, he failed to finish off. So probably just a needed blowout for Surprise baby. Just keep an eye on him for the future, Dean.
Yeah, look, he needed a day at the races to kick off. That was it. They went. It was a shame. It was probably the last race of the day. The track was at its firmest. They've gone very hard in front. It was a different dynamic to some of his first up runs over 1600 in the past, where it's at the start of spring and the intent of it isn't as strong. So this race was a seriously run race, and he was very rusty. He'll improve with the day out. He trialled up nicely, so I don't think there's anything wrong with the way he's going. He just needs to get in the right race, and it might be a little while yet, because probably the next opportunity for him to get in a race that he could really show up would be in an Australian Cup, I'd imagine.
Onwards and upwards for Sinawan now with the Anthony and Sam Freeman stable. A dominant and impressive winner, albeit by only three quarters of a length in the Kevin Heffernan Stakes, the last at Caulfield on Zipping Classic Day. Time for a break on RSN 927. We'll have a look at the Group 1 at Ascot, the winner bottom.
Racapo gets up on the rail. Red Can Man has to wait his turn. He's desperately looking for run. And now Rawilla hits the trigger and the favourite starts to erupt, and coming with it is Graceful Girl. Elite Street, the leader, Graceful Girl, finishing brilliantly though from last. Pike says go, girl. Graceful Girl from the tail of the field races away and she wins the Winterbottom brilliantly. Stage Man on the outside diving at Laverott. Elite Street in a very close go for second and third.
Well, Graceful Girl and Elite Street head into twining form. Dino, Elite Street went around favourite yesterday. That looked a dominant win. How did you see the Winterbottom?
Yeah, it was a dominant win. I think Darren McCauley didn't realise what he was saying when he said Elite Street's about to erupt. I think that was the moment that he bled, unfortunately, and he got 3 months because he looked like he was going to be very close to the winner of the race, and it was surprising he didn't kick on, but we now know why. But Graceful Girl certainly did kick on. She was magnificent from back in the field. Just had to concede at the start, which William Pike knows how to do around Ascot, and just bided his time and was really good to the line. Stage Man it was a good solid run. Elite Street, Laverod's run fourth. We know Laverod through his deeds over here through last campaign, so we know probably get a little bit of a handle on it. And Elite Street wasn't. We probably didn't see him at his best last autumn here. So this is certainly a very progressive mare. The race, as we mentioned last week, probably just lacked that little bit without interstate rivals coming over. But she's now won 6 of her 11, and certainly the deeper she gets into a preparation, the better she seems to go.
What's your take on the Winterbottom, Dan?
Just W. Pike's ability to ride that track like no other. I mean, he's last on the home turn in a race where a lot of horses, jockeys would have had a button to push that would have had a big kick. And as it turned out for many of them, there was not a lot of clear room for some. And unimpeded, last wide on the turn, in the space of 250 metres, she's gone from last to hit the front and win drawing away. And when you look at most of W. Pike's wins, he's getting up on the last two or three hops. Well, she just dominated. Look, I put it down to the ride on the turn. To get that momentum up and going from last, when everyone else was waiting to balance when they straighten and then press what they thought was a button, he just does it like no other. And every week you just scratch your head at how good this man is. And she goes around at about $9 and wins by half the straight. Elite Street obviously had some excuses there because he did look like he was going to be fighting out the finish, but the winner was outstanding, and it was an outstanding ride.
Anything else from the meeting, Dean, if we're looking ahead to the other races in the carnival over there?
Yeah, he was beaten yesterday, but this was the one that probably William would like to have probably got going a bit earlier on, and that was Midnight Blue in the JRA Trophy, one of the lead-ups towards the Perth Cup. And Midnight Blue ran third in the Perth Cup last year. Maricino won it from on-pace position, but Midnight Blue just had way too much to do and then got in a bumping duel at about the 200. Probably should have won. He's the horse I want to follow through now to the Perth Cup.
Next week, we've got the Group 1 Kingston Town Classic, $1.50 futures market for Western Empire. Is that something that you roll into multis during the week, Dean? Does it look a put-in takeout for Western Empire?
You'd think so. He's going to meet basically the same horses he met in the railway. The difference is he goes from the limit to weight for age, so that's the challenge. But he's already a Derby winner at set weights, and he's a progressive horse, so you'd think that he should be able to complete the double and complete the treble for Bob Peters, who mentioned yesterday on Sky Thoroughbred Central he hadn't been able to complete the treble of the three Group 1s in Perth. Well, he won't get a better chance than this this week with Western Empire.
Racing on heavy ground at Rose Hill yesterday, the feature was the Group 3 Festival Stakes, potential lead-up to the Villiers in a couple of weeks.
The favourite, Ellsberg, quickly looms up on the outside now, and Ellsberg pokes the head in front. Bandersnatch goes to third, followed by Mabaras, and then came Order again. But Ellsberg is going through his gears now inside the 100 metres and is drawing clear. Stockman's coming with a tremendous run late, but Ellsberg wins the feature from the fast-finishing Stockman and Bandersnatch third.
Comfortable win, Dan, probably suited by the way the track was playing. Didn't seem to be a disadvantage, as Ray Thomas outlined, to be on speed and near the inside. What was your take on the win of Ellsberg yesterday?
Well, he was from a good gate. He was always in the right position. He looked the horse that was probably most likely going to win that race a long way from home. He'd been placed 3 out of 3 on wet ground without winning on it before, but he certainly ticked that box, I think, in emphatic fashion yesterday. Carrying 53 kilos, so it all worked out really well for him. Good day for Rachel King as well. She ended up riding a treble. This fellow's form, look, it's been good. When he stepped up, he ran second at Ayrton through the Winter Carnival in Brisbane. That first up run was terrific in a benchmark race, and he's come through some strong races in the Silver and Golden Eagle. So probably a peak run with maybe one more in him, you think, at the mile next start. Yeah, he's a good horse.
What do you make of this race, Dean, and perhaps as a lead-up to the Villiers?
Yeah, well, he ties in all the form lines, Warren. Right back to he won the South Pacific, beating Private Eye, the Epsom winner, as Dan mentioned, that second to Ayrton, and then in the spring he's run second to Aim in the Silver Eagle with Count the Rupee third. He's run close up in a Golden Eagle behind I'm Thunderstruck, Count the Rupee, and he's won yesterday. So all the good form lines he ties in with, he handles wet or dry. They want the Villiers ticket, the win to get the ticket into the Doncaster next year, and look, I think he'd be a great chance of being able to do that. He was strong yesterday at 1,500 metres. They're bypassing the option. He was a Magic Millions purchase, so they're putting a fair bit on the line, not going to a race at the Magic Millions by having a go at the Villiers, and I think, you know, he'd be a great chance of winning that as well.
Outlaw's Revenge getting up and taking out the City of Marion in the last ride at Morford Field yesterday. Another stakes win for Ryan Balfour over there, and a promising galloper. He loves to find the line, Outlaw's Revenge, Dean, doesn't he?
Yeah, he found it very late, but he found it right on the line yesterday. And he's a good horse. We've seen a little bit of him now, and that was a really competitive race. Good deep race, and he got rocked the ring right on the line. Diamonds made up good ground there, and I think Parsifal's just about ready to win one of these races. He's only had the two runs back from a long spell. I think he's just about ready now.
That's our look at back at racing around the country yesterday. Time to summarise it with runs of the day, horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Dino, we'll start with you.
I'm going to be incredibly boring, Warren. It's going to be the same horse, run of the day and horse to follow, Sinawan. Simple as that. I thought it was an outstanding win, and I can see this horse being a Group 1 performer in times to come. So this might be just a really good starting point. We saw the Kevin Heffernan in 2013, a horse called Lankan Rupee, start a winning run into Group 1 glory, and we might see it again with Sinawan.
Anything we should be keeping an eye on today, Dean?
Warren, I think your horse will win the Terrelgan Cup, Huntley Castle. I think he's in his absolute right race, the Latrobe Valley Cup, race 8, number 3. So he's the best of the day for me at Terrelgan this afternoon. Good luck to them with the Cup, and of course, good luck to the Warrnambool Racing Club and all concerned with the Jericho this afternoon.
Yeah, terrific. Thanks for your help this morning, Dean. Look forward to your contributions right throughout the week on RSN 927.
Terrific. Thanks, Warren.
And Dan, you're about to take the reins for Sunday Central. Big preview of the Jericho Cup meeting coming up. But first, let's get your run of the day and horse to follow.
I was cogitating between a few horses from yesterday. I thought, yeah, I'll go with Sinawan because he's got more upside. So I'll stick with Sinawan. He's a horse that's going to progress, but it was a strong meeting. I'm keen on Camicho going forward, whether or not he has another run this prep or not. Look for him. He's going to develop into a nice horse. It was a good two-year-old race. And I think Streetcar Stranger, what we saw yesterday, he's ready to win next time.
Looking forward to the next couple of hours, Dan. Thanks for your contribution on Correct Weight. Looking forward to Sunday Central on with Sinawan as the run of the day also. And same stable, but different horse. I thought Moko ran well on debut in the first over 1,000 metres. She's my horse to follow, both from the Anthony and Sam Friedman stable. That takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for a sports update with Andrew Hughes, followed by Sunday Central. Dan Malecki.